Well, hello. Welcome back to Revolutionary Health. I am your host, Stephanie Center. If this is your first time listening, oh my gosh, you picked a fantastic episode to stop in on because you are going to leave this podcast episode feeling encouraged, feeling ignited, like you are ready to take on the world. So I'm so excited. If you are a returning listener, it's so great to have you back. Thanks for joining me again. A couple of housekeeping items before we dive into the episode. If you are considering functional lab testing to get to the root cause of your stubborn hormone or gut issues, let's be pals. I work with women one-on-one to get to the bottom of it. We use both your traditional labs, like you're welcome to bring those. I have a HIPAA-compliant portal where you can upload those and we can use those to guide us maybe in one direction or another. But I will give you the functional labs that you need to start getting to the root cause of your problem in my program. So if you are interested in that, click on the link in the show notes that says for my website, and then go to private coaching and you can learn a little bit more. I love, love, love my private coaching program. I pamper you because I want you to know that healing does not have to be this daunting thing. I want you to feel loved and supported and encouraged on your healing journey. So I send you a box of my favorite goodies, my favorite non-toxic goodies, to help lighten your load, because I know healing is a commitment and an investment in yourself, and I just want to honor that. So I also have concierge chat service in my private coaching, which you can read about, because if you're anything like me, you would think of the perfect question to ask your doctor right after you leave your doctor's appointment. So I don't want you to worry about that. If you have a question between sessions, I'm accessible. If you have been eyeing our Own Your Hormones program, I partner with holistic nutritionist Rachel Heppner, and this is a self-paced course. So this is a go at your own pace, choose your own adventure course on how to balance your hormones. So we give you the detailed and dirty on things like insulin resistance, on endocrine disruptors, so those chemicals, those pesky chemicals in your self-care products, and maybe even your food that mimic hormones. We're going to teach you about those. We're going to talk about glyphosate and how that impacts your hormones. And y'all, that's a wild, wild rabbit hole to go down. We have several modules in there. Again, we leave no stone unturned. And that program does offer a Dutch test. So you are welcome to check that out. If you are new, or maybe if you're recurring, you may or may not know, I have a blog. I have a blog now. It has, I release new blog posts weekly. And these are fun little helpful hints on how to live a healthier life. I have a new blog post on energy optimization. So what are the best supplements for that? What are the best supplements for PCOS? I talk about foods you want to avoid when you have PCOS. I just have a laundry list of things that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, and I'm going to do my best to make some podcast episodes out of these too, because I think they're just really fun and helpful. Like, how can we be one step better tomorrow than we were today? Like, let's just do one thing, and over time, those things will add up and we will be a new human, right? If you are not aware, I'm also doing weekly podcast episodes, so you can subscribe to the show so you will see the new episodes when they air this week. And if we are not email buddies, why not? I love, love, love so much on my email community. Not to brag on myself, but I have like a 40 to 45% open rate on every single one of my emails. And if you are a business owner listening to that, your jaw just dropped to the floor, because that is unheard of. If you own a business, you're aiming for like 20 to 25% open rate. And I have about 50. Can you imagine if you opened 50% of your emails? I mean, that just means a lot. So if we are not email buddies, join my email community. I have some freebies that you can download. Just visit the show notes and you can download either my free hormone health assessment or my free gut health assessment. All right, let me introduce you to today's guest. Mark Hayford is a three-time best-selling author, a dynamic podcaster, certified life coach, and accomplished inspirational speaker. Along with his experience as a veteran of the armed forces, former WWE referee, and former head football coach, he is known for his expertise in growth mindset and an advocate for mental wellness. With his captivating presence and engaging storytelling style, Mark has become a sought-after speaker, inspiring and motivating audience around the country, and has been featured on many platforms, including radio, podcasts, and television for his books, Get Up, Encouraging You to Attack Life, 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life, and Light Up the Darkness. His books have received rave reviews for their practical and actionable advice, providing readers with tools they need to overcome challenges to achieve their full potential. In today's podcast, we are going to chat about how to achieve a winner's mindset. I think your mindset is going to make or break your healing. And I know I've mentioned this before. One of my favorite quotes of all time is the Henry Ford quote, "Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right." And that is so true. If you think you can heal, guess what? You can. If you think you can't get better, then you're right. You've already crushed any hope of getting better because of your mindset. And he has that Henry Ford quote in his book. And so I really appreciate that. We are gonna talk about how the greatest boxer of all time solves your mindset problem. We are going to talk about why you can't save other swimmers when you're drowning and why that's a mindset problem. Not the idea that you can't save other people, but how you got to the point where you're drowning. That's the mindset problem. I guess I should have clarified that. We're going to talk about why most people hate winners and how that sabotages your progress and how to stop sleepwalking through life. Please help me give a warm welcome to our guest today, Mark Hayford. Well, hey, Mark Hayford. It's so good to see your face. You know what? I love the sound of your voice, and I've been listening to it for how many years on Clubhouse, and you run such a wonderful and successful mental wellness room, and I've had the pleasure of hearing you and witnessing you in this healing space, and I'm so grateful that you're spending time with us in this cozy space today, so thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited and it's great to see you as well. And I'd like to think that we run a mental wellness room on Clubhouse because it is absolutely a team effort. And I feel all the moderators we have, it's like adding pieces into a puzzle that just make it totally flow. I mean, you know, we just hit the 2.5 year mark and we have the longest running mental wellness room in Clubhouse. And the consistency of that, because a lot dropped off in the Clubhouse space for anybody that's out there, you know, since the world opened up. That's a good thing. People can get back to their lives, getting out, doing stuff. But we've found that that's a space where people can still be served. And we try to serve it up every single week. So a big shout to you, the moderators, and everybody that makes this team thing work. Because, look, I'm not doing that by myself, so...
Well, you are the master MC and you are the master organizer of the group. So it's been a blessing to me to just witness kind of the healing that takes place in that room. So if you're listening and you're like, I don't know what Clubhouse is a social media platform that came out during the pandemic. It's audio only. So you don't have to worry about looking like nothing or anything. It's just all voices. And it's just incredible how vulnerable people will be when it's all voices. And I love that. But today I'm here to talk with Mark about really, I would say one of the most humbling lessons that I've learned since opening up my own like functional medicine practice is a lot of the women that I serve, one of their biggest roadblocks is they don't feel worthy of healing. And that's something that I want to hit head on. And I've read your book, Get Up, which I will link in the show notes. If you are listening to this podcast, run, don't walk, get this book. Just knowing Mark for the past couple of years, this, I can hear your voice. And I love it when I read a book and I can hear the author's voice. You are so poetic. You are almost, it's almost like listening to a rapper or something because you're very musical in the way that you write. Did you know that? Or do you do that on purpose?
So what you're saying, first of all, thank you so much for the compliments. I appreciate it. No, I didn't know that. That's an interesting take for me to hear. I don't think my writing's ever been described as poetic. I almost look at it as blunt. Like it's very straightforward. That whole fifth grade level, like you want to write on a fifth, and I don't even try to do that. I just write exactly the way I speak. I'm not trying to recreate War and Peace. You know what I mean? Like it's boom, here we go, 150 pages in your face. Like that's it. But I have had so many people tell me that they cannot read that book without hearing my voice do it, which is kind of crazy to me. But it's also on Audible too. So there's that. People can listen.
Well, what I mean by poetic or musical is it has like a rhythm to it. You're very rhythmical in your writing. Like there are beats. Like it's almost like you're writing to an eight count or something. I don't know. Like
That's interesting.
could we do a jazzercise class to this book? I don't know. Maybe.
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 Get up and jazzercise. I love
or gosh, I'm like aging myself with that reference, but
it.
anyway, at least I did say like step aerobics and then be a true 80s child. This book is all about encouraging you to attack life. And I want to, so many of the mindset hurdles that you describe in this book are ones that I can guarantee you everyone listening has experienced. And you also, something you don't know, you quoted my favorite quote in this book, which is a Henry Ford quote. Whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. And this is something that on a lot of my like onboarding calls, I will use. Do you think healing is possible? If you say no, I don't think it's possible, then you're right. Let's not work together. Let's save you time and money because you're right. You won't get better if with that mindset. So what would you say to somebody who is on a healing journey, who has these kind of self-limiting beliefs? How would you approach them? What words of wisdom would you say to them?
Well, the first thing, it's a great question, and it's not a one size fits all. I think this is very compartmentalized depending on the individual. However, I would say that with a broad brush, if you are in that headspace, something you have to realize is you're not put here just to survive, you're put here to thrive. There is a purpose for you. Every single person has a different blessing, gift, skill set, attribute, reason, purpose for being here. And Mark Twain said it. He said, the greatest 2 days of your life are the day that you're born and the day that you realize why. So, the thing is, you might be going through hard times and struggles right now, but they don't always last. I mean, we've heard it, tough times don't last, tough people do. Well, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes, someday there's going to be a last day, but that's the get up message, right? I mean, too many times we're walking around here like we're sleepwalking, and that's what lit a fire under my rear end to put this first book together, because I was, after professional wrestling and the military and coaching football and doing all the things I've done, I was sick of seeing people play at such a low vibe. Like, we don't get more time. We're not getting second chances, Steph. Like, people are walking around here like this is dress rehearsal. It is not freaking dress rehearsal. Like, we are live. Lights, camera, action, center stage. This is your life. And the great news is you could take action steps to become successful today. Like, today. Like, if you hear my voice right now, like right now, like today, you could start reversing things to become better, to become active, to live a lifestyle of what of how you want to live. And it starts with vision. And another Henry Ford quote, he said, thinking's one of the hardest things to do, and that's why most people don't engage in it. And how many, and we're living in 2023, distraction freakingville, USA. It is the noisiest time in the history of history, right? What does everybody do the second they wake up? They reach for their freaking phone and we scroll. We don't even think. Listen, you got me sweating and yelling at you already. You didn't even do anything. But this is a hot button for me, right?
I
Because
love it.
we're in this TikTok mentality today, and it's all about, people aren't leveling up too much. And if we don't find the instantaneous success or the instantaneous gratitude, or if we don't get what we want, exactly what we get, what do? We give up, we stop, we get bored, we put it away. This is disturbing. There is a new study that's out. It says your brain has created its own algorithm. So when you pick up your phone and you scroll, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, whatever, YouTube, and you're looking 0.8 of a second. I don't even know how fast that is. It's like, right? 0.8 of a second, your brain realizes whether you're going to engage or you're going to swipe. That's crazy. And we created that for ourselves. So, I mean, it's really about, first of all, casting vision for yourself and blowing past these false self-limitations. And the only limits we truly have are what we create in our mind. And I realize there's disease, there's accidents, there's things. Yes, I understand this, but there's always more. We can always do more. We can always have more. We can always become more. But that starts with your belief. And if you have a limiting belief, I mean, I could do a whole 5-hour seminar on this. On,
I love how lit up you are right now. It's just exuding through. I hope it's exuding through audio the way it's exuding through video. So incredible. Well, okay. I want to back up then. And I should have asked you this first. What is your background? How did you get into this space? Because you share a lot of you get very vulnerable in this book and share a lot of where you came from and how things weren't easy. So can you kind of tell us as much as you're willing to share, your personal story and how you got into the business of helping others to believe in themselves?
Yeah. Well, I learned early how to fight because it wasn't pretty. Right. I grew up in Northern New Jersey and people say, wow, you're always so positive. Like were you just always positive? Were you? And I said, no, I grew up in New Jersey. It was 10 minutes outside of New York City and Gen X in the '80s, like all the stuff you see is real. Right. I mean, it was, you know, my generation came from the end of gaming or the beginning of gaming, right? The beginning of the internet, like all this stuff in the crossover. And it was rough where I grew up. And my dad got very sick early on in my life. So there was my childhood hero who was a Vietnam veteran and the person I looked up to who I watched become bedridden. You know, we lost our family car. We had to have the church bring us food at times. You know, I had to quit football in high school my sophomore year and I wound up working 3 different jobs. So it wasn't easy. And then when we got in a position to get back, you know, somewhat financially and I started, you know, just really learning to fight and appreciate and have gratitude, but also know that, you know, without struggle, sometimes you can't have good things. Like you just, you know, and this is going to be harsh, but I'm just going to say it, you know, most failures focus on pleasing activities. The people that win are focusing on pleasing results. So if you want to win, what are you doing about it? Are you sitting there pissing and moaning and woe is me and crying? Are you going, you know what? I'm going to start making action steps. I'm going to start chipping away a little bit every day. And this was something that, you know, that I was raised on in the high school I went to. Shout out to St. Mary's High School in Rutherford, New Jersey. Hey, the St. Mary's Gales, right? Gaelic word for warrior. You know, we didn't have the player pool. There was maybe about 200 kids in our high school. It was going to be shut down every year from low attendance. So when we played other schools, we would lose games 45-0 in football. I'm not getting out of the game. There's no like, hey, I want a water break. I'm tired. No. Who cares? It's third down. Like, and it's that mentality. And it was learning to fight. And it was all of this. And as I have that mentality and I go through my life, and like I said, then I go into the military and then I was in professional wrestling for a while and all these other things. I see so many people limiting themselves for such unnecessary purposes. Like we, you know, we're going to sit back and think, you know, we're so worried about what everybody thinks. You know, we're worried about how we're going to be perceived or what. Listen, I may say something very imperfect in this interview. Okay. I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. I'm not living in a freaking filter. Please don't edit it. Right? Seriously. Like, you know, this is how this is supposed to be. It's okay to mess up. You got to mess up before you can grow up and you got to keep showing up and you got to get better. And there's no way to do that unless you fail forward. You know, when I was coaching football, I'd always teach our players, you know, you either win or you, and people say lose. No, we're either going to win or we're going to learn.
Period. Yes. Amen. Right?
So it's about, you know, that mindset and me seeing too many people hold back. Damn it. Stop holding back for what? For what? Because in case, you know, the people that really don't care about us, really don't pay our bills, really don't, you know, on and on and on, fill in the blank are going to care. Dude, there's Mark Hayford haters out there. I don't know who they are. I don't care. I'm not wasting time. I'm out here trying to win and lift other people up. You know what I mean? So it's so much about just moving forward and not getting stuck in that space. You know, we too many times we second guess ourselves to death until we paralyze ourselves and do nothing, or we exhaust ourselves mentally and don't even get started. Most people stop before they start. Too many times what are we going to do? Ask 50 of our unsuccessful friends and family members what they think we should do with our life. No,
oh man,
no, you got to live your life, man. And you know, it's that mentality. And that's what started me on this journey. That's what had me write Get Up. And I, you know, when I wrote that first book, I'm a three-time best-selling author now, Steph. I never wrote anything. Thank you. I never wrote anything before this book. So this book walks the walk, talks the talk, because it literally was like, I got something to say, and it may not be pretty the way I'm going to present it. And
this one is your first one?
It's my first one.
Wow. And the story,
insane. And that shot to number one in 4 hours on Amazon. It was unbelievable. It was Thursday, February 1st, 2018. And I was taking I don't think I had an Instagram page at that time. If I did, I just started. I was only on Facebook. Now I'm everywhere. I'm like, you know, like pigeon poop on the boardwalk, wherever you go, I'm there. Okay. So like, if you're on TikTok or LinkedIn or Clubhouse or yourmom.com, whatever.
Oh, it's too many.
Everywhere. Right. But here's the thing. I first of all, I self-published the book. The reason I did that is because I had to learn quickly and pull myself. You're looking at the marketing, you're looking at the author, you're looking at all the person that to pull, and nobody does it by themselves. So I had editors, I had formatters. Yes, you know, it took time. But the mindset behind this, I didn't want to wait for a bunch of dudes sitting in a boardroom with lattes that were going to sit back when they felt like it and then thought about if the message I wanted to get out to the universe was good enough or the right timing, or if it was by their estimation, something that would fit into their confines of their message. No, hell no. It had to get out. So I just went for it and self-published. And then I did a Facebook Live and just said, it was 8 p.m. at night. And I said, guys, Get Up is out. You can get on Amazon right now. I hope you enjoy it. You know, you're coming along the journey with me. And, you know, hey, this is for all of us, right? Thank you. So I did what any other best-selling author would do. I closed my laptop. I made my kids' lunches. I washed the dishes. I spent some time with my wife. And it was about midnight and I was fading out, you know? And I'm like, all right, I'm about to pass out. And I was like the kid that knew where the presents were in the closet, right, in the house. So I told myself I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. And I went to my laptop and I opened it up and I looked, and I can't even tell you this story without getting emotional. Like I looked at that and I was like, what is happening? And I had to refresh a bunch of times and Get Up within 4 hours, went to number one in self-help and personal growth in Amazon, jumped over Gary Vaynerchuk. It jumped over Jack Canfield. It's insane. It is insane. It totally just disrupted the top 10 and stayed there for over a week. And it's so cool because, you know, you get the little gold banner, you know, new bestseller, that whole thing. And I'm like, holy crap, what just happened? Right. And then it was the next book and the next book. And then that's when started speaking events and podcasts and everything. And what a ride. I feel so blessed because what the work that I'm doing, the work that you're doing, we're helping people. That's a great way to live. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And you know what? Again, one day there's going to be a last day for me. But while I'm here, again, I'm not here to survive. I'm here to thrive. Let's go. Gloves are off. We're freaking swinging. That's how we do it.
Wow. Okay. You shared two thoughts that I want to dive a little deeper on for somebody who's listening, who's like, I'm on the struggle bus. And there are phrases that I use too. So I love that you said them. One is that you're either winning or you're learning. And so I want to kind of superimpose that over somebody who's on a healing journey. If you kind of, you quote Thomas Edison in your book, right? I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that didn't work or something to that extent. Right. So, okay. You've tried, maybe you're dealing with hormone imbalance, or maybe you're dealing with gut dysfunction. Great. You've found another way that doesn't work for you. That doesn't mean that you have failed. And you also mentioned the idea of failing forward, which I am going to like have a humble moment. It like, amen. Just being a business owner, constantly making bad decisions, wrong decisions, like failing, falling on my face. You have to not care what people think about you as a business owner, because that's how you become successful. You have to believe in what you do, and the right people will find you. And that's been just anybody that's ever tried owning a business. Like, you are 100% signing up to lose friends, people that you've maybe really cared right. about, or you thought cared about you. You're signing up for that. And you have to be okay with that and let those things go. And trust me, better, more well-aligned people will enter your life. But this isn't a business podcast. It's a health podcast. So what I want to say to the person listening who is like feeling like you have done all the things. No, you haven't. You have not tried all the things. There are things out there that you don't even know exist that you can try to help your health. And If I just want you, the purpose of this episode right here is for you to feel encouraged to get up and start taking action, whatever that means for you today. We're just trying to be just a little bit better than yesterday, right? So think about one thing that you can do today to better your health. And if it doesn't work, then great, you learned a lesson. There's no such thing as like, I think one of my other favorite quotes is the John Wooden, goodness, there's no such thing as oh, I'm going to butcher this.
All right.
But failure, the only failure you have is like the failure to not try again or something up to that extent. That is not at all what he said. So sorry, John Wooden. I love you, John Wooden.
Apologies to John Wooden.
Apologies to John. Well, he's got like a whole book of quotes, right? Like, I think he's probably one of the most quoted people in sports.
That's why when you say John Wooden, I was saying, well, which one? You know?
Yeah, right. Hey there, lovely listener. We are taking a little breather from our show to dive into something that's not just important, but also incredibly cozy. So picture this. You, a delightful candle, and some heart-to-heart chat with your favorite gal pal about minimizing toxin exposures while giving a nod to a local small female-founded business. Now let me tell you, I have been on the quest for non-toxic candles that tick all the boxes for years. Yes, you heard me right, years. I'm all about that sweet blend of aroma and ambiance that only candles can accomplish. You know, the kind that sets the mood, the vibes, the overall atmosphere. But here's the kicker. It's been a challenge to find candles that align with my standards. I remember feeling a little bit lost in the candle department after my little dip with mold toxicity, and it seemed like there was nothing safe out there. And boy, did I miss the warm glow and soothing scents. Thankfully, I stumbled upon this game changer. Have you ever heard of Sea Love candles? These little beauties not only smell divine, and let's admit it, they're super cute too, but they're also a dream come true for anyone looking to keep things toxin-free and eco-friendly. Let me share a heartwarming story. So Stacy, the brains behind Sea Love candles, started this wonderful venture because her hubby had asthma and those synthetic fragrance candles just weren't his jam. He couldn't tolerate them. So she took matters into her own hands and created Sea Love candles. And guess what? Sea Love candles is a small batch haven tucked away on the picturesque coast of Maine. And I can't stress this enough. Choosing them over those big box giants, Bath and Body Works, isn't just a choice, it's a statement. Quality and sustainability, check and check. So head on over to sealovecandles.com, that's S-E-A-L-O-V-E, candles, C-A-N-D-L-E-S.com. And when you indulge in these little pockets of joy, use the code HolisticHouse10, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C-H-O-U-S-E, and then the number 10, all one word. You'll get an awesome 10% off your order as a big old thank you for tuning into our podcast and supporting the heartbeat of a small business. I don't know about you, but the warm embrace of candlelight at night is my happy place. Heck, I even light one up on rainy days at my desk. It's an instant mood lift. And I'm pretty sure it'll sprinkle a little bit of magic into your life too. So again, head on over to Sea Love Candles and use the code HolisticHouse10 for 10% off your order. You can also find a link to Sea Love Candles in the show notes if you are driving and you cannot write this down. All right, my wonderful folks, let's shimmy on back to our show and keep this good vibe train rolling. I will find it and put it in the show notes because the quote that I'm thinking of is all about your mindset. Like if you lose, that's not a failure, but if you are not willing to correct your error, then that's a failure. Something to that extent. So
can
sorry.
I jump in with this? Can I jump in with this? Because I love what you're saying here. And I would love to give this analogy. And I do this when I do a lot of live talks, and it's the get up power talk. And the analogy what I explain to people is you were born a winner. Like you were literally born a winner. And you might have I get a lot of blank stares and people look at me like, this dude's out of his mind. Like, what the hell is he talking about? And I'll prove it to you. So the analogy I used is a newborn baby. This baby's born, the baby's cute. And what's the baby do? The baby cries, the baby sleeps, the baby make the poo-poo. That's all baby can do, right? Baby can't even clean himself. Baby can't eat. Baby can't do anything, right? But the baby sees all these giants walking around. And one day the baby thinks to himself, as it gets a little bit older, you know what? I'm going to try this walking thing. And the baby has to learn how to crawl first. And that's frustrating. And the baby's falling on its face. Then the baby starts coasting and holding on to things and falling down. And everybody else is walking around. The baby can't do it. The baby's going to walk. Baby wants to walk. Baby has no chill. Baby will not quit. Baby gets up. Baby falls down. Baby gets up. Baby falls down. Baby gets up. Baby busts its face. Bloody nose. Boogers. Crying. The whole thing. Mom's got to pick the baby up, right? Next day, baby's trying to walk again. Will not stop. Irregardless, right? 100%. So extra. Baby gets up, baby falls down. Baby gets up 49 times, baby falls down 50 times. The 51st time, the baby doesn't think to himself, you know what? Maybe this walking thing isn't for me. The baby keeps getting up. And then one day, the baby takes a step and goes, whoa, okay. And the baby looks like maybe it's drinking too much of the funky rum on a Caribbean cruise, okay? But the baby starts walking. Was the baby a failure? Because it fell down 5 million times? No, because the baby didn't stop. The baby kept going until the baby won. So I want anybody listening to this right now to remind you, you are the baby. You just grew up. You are hardwired to win. You came from the factory like this. It's in your DNA. So don't forget who you are. You were built to succeed. And any limits you have, you just learned them. And they're not true. I mean, you can level up and do anything. I mean, and too many times it's because we focus on what we don't want versus focusing on what we want. You know, one of my favorite stories is Roger Bannister and the 4-minute mile. The mile's crazy when I started doing research on this because it's one of the oldest sports. It goes back to Civil War times, right? We didn't have soccer. We didn't have football over here, but we can run, right? So,
and, makes you know, sense.
Yeah. So the mile was this thing. And in 1945, the record was set and the number was 4 minutes and 1 second. And all the medical experts of the day said it is physically impossible to run faster than a 4-minute mile. It's never been done. And it can't be done because your heart would explode. The lungs cannot hold the capacity of lack of oxygen and the blood flow and everything. Our bodies are not made for this. It's physically impossible. That record held for 9 years, 4 minutes and 1 second. And in 1954, this guy by the name of Sir Roger Bannister broke the record. And he said, very tongue in cheek, because he broke it with 3 minutes, 59 seconds, 0.4. Okay. 59.4. Right.
Wow.
And he said that when he broke the record, he thought he died because that's all he was told would happen to him. So when he collapsed and he heard the cheering, he thought he went to heaven. Right. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's not the incredible part. The incredible part is this: it was impossible. It couldn't be done. It was self-limits until it was done. And once the record was broke in 1954, held for almost a decade, but it was broke. And once it was broke again 6 weeks later. But that's not the crazy part. The crazy part is by 1957, so that's only 3 years, this impossible record was broken over and over and over again 15 times in 3 years. Because when one person did it, they just showed what was possible. And then everybody else went, oh, okay. And today a 4-minute mile is pedestrian. Like, you don't see me doing it because I'm not a runner. As a matter of fact, if anyone sees me running, you should run too because we're being chased, okay? Probably something that's going to eat us, something big and hairy. But the limiting beliefs that we have, that's all the junk that's in our head. Junk is meant to be, trash should be taken out, not put in. So you got to mind your mind and fill it up. That's what's so important about what's going on. Whether you have a physical journey, a spiritual journey, a mental journey, we can all get better, but it's a process. And what you talked about is the elimination. If you tried something and it didn't work, well, you can cross that off the list and you know you can try something else. That's true. I'd like to caution everybody, don't give up too fast. Yeah. Don't give up too fast. You don't go to the gym once and go, woo, abs for life. No. It's a process. You have to continue to go. You don't work out once and go, gun show, baby, bang, bang. No. Right. It's all the time. It's a process. And then over a period of time, I'm sweating. I'm yelling. I love this. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you have this exercise in your book and I did it and it 100% got me this exercise. And if you're listening, I want you to do this exercise too, because I bet you it's going to get you. Okay. I'm going to ask a question. Who is the greatest boxer of all time? So think about what your answer is in your head. Think about that name. You've got a name. I know you've got a name. And then, okay, everybody's got a name by this point. And if you don't, you just don't know boxers' names, and that's fine. We can, but this example, you'll know, you'll understand this when we keep going, because you blew my mind. This was like a magician moment in your book. So, okay, Mark, who is the greatest boxer of all time? And are they the greatest boxer of all time? And if they are the greatest boxer of all time, why are they the greatest boxer of all time?
Okay, so kind of cheating because I wrote it. So it's like, so.
Well, but like, explain your thought process. Yeah. Explain your thought, because this was genius. I literally, Mark, I literally had to put down the book and like go, what just happened?
Wow. Thank you. Wow. Well, all right. So when I do this live and I'll ask people, well, who, clear your mind. And who is the greatest boxer of all time? And most people in the audience are probably not diehard boxing fans, but people will just sit back there. And a lot of the names, either they don't answer because they're unsure, because we hold back all the time, or they'll say Muhammad Ali.
And the correct, that's what I said.
Right. And that's what 90% of the people or more would say, Muhammad Ali. And that by standard would be correct answer, unless you talk to an actual boxing historian who knows boxing. And the fact is that Muhammad Ali probably doesn't rank in the top 20 of all time. There's Jack Dempsey, there's Sugar Ray Robinson, there's, I mean, on and on and on, right? And Jake LaMotta, I mean, there's so many great boxers that have achieved more than Muhammad Ali. However, Muhammad Ali, what he did was he was this so much goes into neuro-linguistic programming. I sat down with Dr. Shad Homesteader and he blew my mind years ago when he introduced me to the whole process of neuroplasticity, rewiring your brain with neurons and a positive self-message or a negative self-message, you know. And basically what Muhammad Ali did was he told us, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. If he's dreaming about, you know, beating me, he better wake up because I am the greatest. And he's the greatest. He's the greatest. And everybody started writing in newspapers because that was the big media. He's the greatest. They started saying on TV, he's the greatest. Muhammad Ali's the greatest. I'm looking at the announcer, Howard Cosell. And Muhammad Ali, he is the greatest of all time, right? And then everybody just went on and goes, okay, he's the greatest. That's it. And why? Because he told us. And we believed him. And we just go, okay, he's the greatest. Something I love to do is I love to DJ. I've owned and operated my own DJ company for 22 years.
Oh, cool.
And I just love it. And by the way, I started in my late 20s when most people like are too old to DJ. That's when I started because I love it. You talk of mental wellness. How about like every time you come together, we're celebrating something. It's so fun, right? And you know, I'm doing these events. When I walk in to do an event, I don't think to myself, oh, I hope they like me. I hope my equipment works right. I hope we have fun at the party tonight. No. Like I, in my mind, and I don't say this to people because they would think I'm insane, but in my own mind, my self-talk, the way I speak to myself, I am the baddest dude in the planet. They are lucky to have me. I'm going to tear it apart. I hope that place has insurance. That dance floor is going to bust. We are going to party. That will be the greatest Ashley's Sweet 16, Johnny's Bar Mitzvah, Rachel and Fred's wedding that anybody has ever been to their entire lives. That's what's going down. When I go and I speak for a company or at a school, I don't walk in there going, oh, well, I hope I can do good. No. I got a message. I'm going to change somebody's life. You got to focus on what you want and not what you don't want. And too many times we're in the space worried, the negative, thinking about what we don't want. Stop that. Start accentuating your positives.
So how can we take that mindset and that mentality and apply it to a population of most of the women that are in my community are mamas. So they're caregiving, they're caring for everybody else before themselves, right? Because that's what mamas do.
Toughest job in the world.
And they have, you know, the biggest hearts, but maybe not the highest self-esteem, or maybe not the highest, again, back to my lesson earlier, not the highest self-worth. They don't feel worthy. So how do they, what would be your encouragement to them to adopt this Muhammad Ali mindset and use that to get, because the reason I'm so passionate, Mark, about this is because when mamas take care of themselves, everybody benefits. It's not just the mama, it's the babies, it's the husband, it's the people in your life. When you feel good, when you are not on the health struggle bus and you're not chronically fatigued, having brain fog, all these things, these symptoms that just bring you down, you can show up for yourself as your best self. So what would be your encouragement? Like, how would you go about that? How would you go about adopting that mindset? And what would your encouragement be?
Okay. So a couple things. If you're what Steph just described, a mom, and you're listening, I want to remind you that number one, you have the toughest job in the planet. It's not CEO of a company. It's not the new business owner. It's not the DJ. It's a mom. And there's guidelines and handbooks, but we know it's messy and it's not easy. And I just want to remind you that you are incredible. You are special. You've done something that my entire gender and the rest of the half of the planet cannot do. You gave birth. You created a life. You created a miracle, maybe multiple times, depending how many times you've given birth. Unbelievable. You are capable of incredible things. That's number, that's the next thing to just realize, to really understand that first. And look, everybody again has something special about them or that they're good at, that they can do. But before we even go there, you know, it's the analogy I do is you can't save someone from drowning if you can't swim.
Yes,
right?
I wrote that down.
And you can't, you know, you can't fill up someone else if you're empty. You got to take care of yourself first. And that's not a selfish thing. Self-love is very important. Mm-hmm. You got to love that person in the mirror because we need you for the long haul. And it's not an easy job. But the good news is there's things you can tap into, like this podcast and people like Steph. There's books that you can read or podcasts you can listen to. There's mentors that are out there. And in 2023, this is the greatest time of all time, other than advertised by whoever puts out all the negative, nerve-wracking Nelly news, right? Because we all are walking around freaking supercomputers. Steph is across the country. We're looking at each other right now. I'm sitting in air conditioning. Like, we got it pretty freaking good with Wi-Fi, right? So the whole self-worth thing is, let's get to that. The self-image, the self-worth. It starts again. It's a process. It's little things. Maybe it's working on feeling like getting back into physical shape. Maybe it's about taking some rest. Maybe it's about more meditation. Maybe it's about getting deeper sleep. Maybe it's about changing some things in your diet or adding some things in your diet and getting additional minerals, nutrients. There is so much technology and information that's out there today that we've never had years before. We're living in a special time with lots of opportunity. And I want to remind you that you're important enough to put emphasis on yourself and to go to work on yourself and to enjoy the day to day or to do something for yourself, to reward yourself because you are worthy and you are worth it. And I think it starts with that. And I think once we get there, then we could start going into taking action steps for success.
Hey there, beauty enthusiasts. Are you tired of compromising your health for beauty? Well, I've got some exciting news for you. I am about to revolutionize your makeup game. Imagine beautiful, vibrant makeup that not only enhances your natural features, but also protects your skin from harmful chemicals. That's exactly what you'll find at Crunchy. Clean, toxin-free cosmetics that make you look and feel fabulous. Trust me, I've experienced the Crunchy magic myself. As someone who cares deeply about what goes on my skin, their organic-packed, cruelty-free products have transformed my beauty routine. No more worries about clogged pores or irritations, just pure, clean beauty. Oh, and hold on to your mascara wands because I've got a little treat for you. Just for being the fabulous you that you are, there's a sweet $10 off waiting for you when you make your very first order. All you gotta do is give that link in my show notes a little tap and boom, you're on your way to a love story with clean beauty that won't break the bank. So gorgeous, what's the holdup? Say adios to settling for less and say hello to the stunning toxin-free world of Crunchy. Let the magic unfold at crunchy.com/Stephanie Center. And don't forget to give that little link in my show notes that tap so you can get an exclusive $10 off. Your journey to radiance starts now. Okay, beautiful. Time to get back to the show.
You know, another quote of mine, I love putting quotes in my books from famous people because it gets the attention and maybe someone can connect with it. And Ben Franklin said it. He said, most people die at 25 and do not get buried until 75. Ooh, don't do that. We got one life. It's too special. It's too special. It's not just Wednesday. This could be the greatest morning you've ever had. But what are you going to do with it? Yeah. And how do you know you get next Wednesday? So there's that. And that's the get up mindset. So yeah.
I think you made an important distinction there that you're not going to go from zero to Muhammad Ali overnight. It's going to take, it's a process and it's going to take time. And I think part of a realization that I just had as you were talking was, oh my goodness, maybe for you, a lot of the women that come in this community have been to, I would say the average is 7 or 8 doctors before they come see me. And of that list of doctors, somebody in that list told them, oh, your labs are fine. It's all in your head. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Well, you have two kids. It's normal to be tired all the time. No, it's not. So I would say, I would encourage you, maybe that's the first step is raise your hand and say, no, I told you there's a problem and my problems are valid and my concerns are valid. My symptoms are valid. If you're going to invalidate me, then maybe I don't go see you again. Maybe I go somewhere else where they actually listen to me because your thoughts and I only say this because usually it's been several years before you meet somebody like me and you are just like at the end of your rope, burning the candles at both ends. And maybe if you're towards the beginning of that journey, part of what you can do is say, no, I need people to take me seriously because I am worthy. And like Mark said, I am worth it. That's just a small thing you can do. You hire your medical professionals, right? You're not beholden to them. So you can fire doctors if they are not serving you. I think I don't know. I grew up in the age of yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And I think you did too, Mark. I think you're just a smidge older than me where it was always yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Just a smidge, really, just a smidge. I don't think you're that much older than me. Maybe like a decade or I don't know. Plus or minus. I'm an 80s kid. So I'm older than.
I'm an 80s kid to teen. There we go.
Oh yeah. You did mention you were in high school in like 87. Or something in the book.
Graduated in 90 and I still got the football jacket. And sometimes I bust it out on Halloween. There you go.
That's amazing. Well, I was around then. I just wasn't not. I yeah. Anyway, but anyways, not the point. The point is that you have more agency over your health than you give yourself credit for. And you have the opportunity to say no to people who aren't serving. Like you need to value yourself enough to say no to people. That was a tough lesson for me to learn just as somebody who was suffering through a health crisis is I went from doctor to doctor to doctor being told, well, you're underweight. Like, how could you have a gastrointestinal problem? You're underweight. Like, I don't know what to do with you. Like, you're fine. Just you're in your 20s. You're fine. Go, you know, do whatever. And I was like, well, I don't think it's normal to be down to one meal a day. Well, I mean, just eat more. Well, that's kind of the problem. I can't, right? Like being told that, like, it almost makes you think that you're crazy, right? When you go to somebody and you say something's wrong and they don't validate you. So anyways, that was just a small thought that I had that, well, maybe that's something you could try. I also want to ask you, as you touched on this, you cannot save other swimmers while you're drowning. I love, love, love that. Kind of like they tell you on the airplanes, you have to put on what your mask first before putting on somebody else's mask. Because if you pass out, you can't help put on somebody's breathing mask. So what would your encouragement be to the mama out there that feels like she is drowning and also trying to save people from drowning? How would you encourage her?
Well, you just kind of said it without saying it. In 2023, we need to be our own best advocates. We need to be looking out for ourselves. We need to be doing the research. We need to not blindly just listen to, especially when we know that something's not right, or we can just tell. There's people like you that are out there that are not part of the, you, Steph, specifically, that are not part of this machine, that are just going to write prescriptions and okay, and on with you and you're fine and all that. I mean, or like a big, you know, farm company that's just going to put you stacked as a number. There's people that actually who can help, who do care. And, you know, as far as just if you're feeling overwhelmed, you're right. If you're feeling like it's too much, you're right. And it's time to do something for you. It's time to maybe take a time out. And it's time. And I'm not saying anything drastic. I'm saying little things, maybe something that's going to get you motivated. You know, motivation takes a big shot. A lot of people crap on the idea of motivation. You know, you see a lot of these gurus out there, which we're all trying to figure it out. Okay. All the special perfectionists, you know, the big names that are, you know, on our YouTube, and you see them and they got all the answers. Well, they don't, because we're all figuring it out in 2023. So let's just stop living in filters and pretending. But I will say that I do believe, you know, nowadays, we've seen too many times when people, what that looks like when they're not their own best advocates, right? And when they're not motivated to do something, you know, as a former head football coach, here we go. Discipline's important, but so is motivation. You know, like, yes, you need both. Like, why do I have to have the salt or the pepper? Why can't I have salt and pepper, right? Like, discipline, my football players were already disciplined. They would show up to the games. They're already dressed like gladiators. They're going to crash into each other for 2 hours. They're doing cardio. They maybe get 2 water breaks. They're like, you know, okay, more than that. I'm not a horrible coach, but you know, they're playing a contact sport. It's tough. You already are mentally tough with discipline, because you got to show up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any day that ends with the Y. Okay. You're there. And that's what they do. But now, now Stephanie Center, it's game day. You get to wear your jersey. And your girlfriend sees you in your jersey, and your boys see you in the jersey, and the teachers go, oh, you're part of the football team. Oh, and then you go out to your field, and here comes that opposing bus, and you look in the stands and you see your girlfriend, you see your mom and dad. Oh, and they brought grandma today, and you see all your classmates that are there. And your coach tells you, that's our team. That's our rival team. And they're coming to our house where you were sweating your faces off and doing up downs and doing laps and stayed and did the wind sprints extra. And you almost broke your collarbone, Jimmy. And they are the reason that you have been working so hard, and they are going to come into our house and just take it. And you're going to let that happen. Now I can get them to run through a brick wall. That's motivation. They're already disciplined. The motivation is just another level. The biggest rip on motivation is, well, it doesn't last. You know what? Good. Either does snow, it melts. Either does, you know, bathing. We recommend it daily, right? Either does Christmas. It needs to go away so it could be 4th of July. So, I mean, like, Christmas doesn't suck because it comes and goes, right? No, either does motivation. So it's okay to find something to be attached to look forward to be motivated to, that's going to make you feel good. You owe it to yourself. Absolutely.
Love that idea. Oh, man. Okay. I have two more questions, if that's okay. Yeah. These are both topics that you talk about in your book that I thought were very unique. One is about hating winners, which I was not aware of that mindset until I read about it. And I was like, oh, you know what? That is 100% true. People hate winners. And you had some really good sports examples, but I could think of like 20 other examples of people hating winners. And I was like, well, how does that apply to the woman overcoming a chronic health problem naturally? Because I feel like I also want to say, like, I do not ever want to sound disparaging towards traditional medicine. That is not my purpose here. I value traditional medicine. There's a time and a place for it. And I hate that I feel like I even need to say that, but I need to say that because there are great, great physicians, caregivers out, providers out there that I respect. I also feel like traditional medicine can be a little cookie cutter and can not treat the person, but maybe treat the labs, right? I'm telling you that I don't feel good, but you're telling me my labs are normal. I'm sorry, I can't help you. Come back when you feel worse and maybe your labs will be worse and then I can do something about it. That doesn't feel like a solution to me. And that's what I was told myself. My clients have been told. So I feel that pain. But I also feel like there have been people in my life that when I got over my health issue naturally without their meds, that they told me, well, you're not going to feel any better unless you do it my way. They hold a little contempt for me that, hey, I've figured it out. And I also have people in my life. I have had some girlfriends that maybe hate their 9-to-5 jobs that have contempt for me because I started my own thriving business. And so I think that that can be a stag, like that can be something that withholds somebody from overcoming a health problem if they know what's waiting for them on the other side is contempt. Or even worse, I've had one client say this to me and it just broke my heart. She's like, I don't know if I've dealt with my own stuff emotionally to handle feeling good. Because if I feel good again, then I have to accept X, Y, and Z. In her case, it was she had some miscarriages and now she's in her 40s. And she's like, well, if I'm healthy now, then that means I'm healthy enough to carry a baby, but I'm not at the age where I can carry a baby anymore. And I would have to deal with that. So anyways, how would you walk somebody through this idea of hating winners and not letting that mindset like withhold them from achieving goals? Because I'll be honest, Mark, like that kind of moment for me went like, well, gosh, maybe I want everyone to like me. I want people to be rooting for me. But the reality of it is there's a lot of people as my business has grown that don't want to see me succeed. So I think that that's also applicable to our gals who are on a healing journey. I know you're chomping at the, I know you want to talk and I'm just talking too much. Are you still searching for some high quality supplements to help you achieve your health goals? Well, you're in the right place. FullScript Supplements is your one-stop shop for premium science-backed wellness solutions. With FullScript, you gain access to a vast selection of professional-grade supplements curated by trusted healthcare providers. It's like having a personalized dispensary right at your fingertips. Whether you're looking to optimize your gut health, boost your immunity, or enhance mental clarity, FullScript has you covered. Say goodbye to guesswork and hello to evidence-based choices. What's more is their user-friendly platform allows you to browse, order, and have your supplements conveniently delivered to your doorstep. Empower your wellness journey today by joining my dispensary with FullScript. Inside, you'll have lifetime access to my personally curated protocols that you can use to optimize energy, support your hormones, and finally balance your microbiome. Unlock your full potential and embrace a life of vitality. Visit fullscript.com/welcome/theholistichouse for lifetime access to 15% off all orders. And I know this link is a mouthful, so I will definitely provide it for you in the show notes. All right, I'll see you on the other side of healthy.
No. We're having a conversation. I'm trying to process the best way to bring out the info that I'm thinking, because it's not just an easy, you know, yes or no answer, right? Right. So the overall question is, if someone's feeling like they're being held back because of the potential haters, basically.
Yeah, I really feel like that's a legitimate.
Yeah,
well, for people,
it is because we're, and this is where you hear the big knock on. Let's talk social media. You know us. You know the whole thing, and everybody's judging everybody, and you get to see everybody's highlight reel. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's beautiful and life is great and all this stuff, but you don't see their unpaid bills. You don't see the puppy pee on the rug in the corner. You don't see the pile of laundry that hasn't been done for 2 weeks, right? Like that, they're not going to put that on their social media. So I think the comparison game for starters is very, very damaging. And this is where I think you got to come to terms with, what do you value? What do you value? You know, we all want to be liked in some, you know, we all want that dopamine hit, and whoever says they don't, they're either lying or so jaded. It's to a level in their subconscious. And I totally mean that, right? Cause there's people that say that. But you can't let that govern, and this is where neuro-linguistic programming comes in. When I work with clients as far as like life coaching and things like this, as far as breaking down what their actual core values are, and everybody will have 10 to 15 values. And that could look like your faith or your family, or I like to have fun, or I want to make more money, or I want to be, someone who is able to give back to the community, or whatever that is. Right. And you know, when we're talking about this, I mean, a lot of this is, where do you value or devalue other people's perception of you? Because here's the thing, that now what you're talking about is the analogy I gave in the book of and this was a couple years, this was 2018. So this wasn't even the last couple years that, you know, flew by. I talked about people hating the New England Patriots over the years.
Great example.
Yep. And Tom Brady. People hate two teams, the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots, especially in the Northeast. Everybody hates Cowboys. If you're a Giants fan, you don't like the Cowboys. If you're an Eagles fan, you don't like the Cowboys. If you're a, you know, Washington fan, you like the Cowboys. They all hate each other, but they can agree. And we all have a common enemy. We hate the Cowboys. Why? Because they won four Super Bowls when everybody were kids, right? Right before they were born. America's team. How dare they, right? And then the Niners, or the, the New England Patriots, when we're talking football, they won all the, I think Brady won what, six or seven Super Bowls? So he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time and he retires. But people hate that. They don't want, right now, Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs is you know, he's the top QB. They won two Super Bowls. Well, what happens if he wins three and four? Is he winning too much? Is it, you know, is it someone else's turn? But did they work as hard as him? Did they put the time in? Were they there doing all the little things? Mm-hmm. Like what people don't know about Tom Brady in this example is all the work he put in prior to that. Like he was Mr. Irrelevant. He wasn't even like selected. He was like a laughable backup that should have never started and was able to because of the starter getting an injury. And then he took advantage of his opportunity with all that hard work. I don't think he gives too much of a crap who likes him and doesn't like him. He's got a pretty good life. Now, we're all not rocking it, you know, as multimillionaires like Tom Brady. But my point is, what do you value more? Do you value your health? Do you value what you have left to give and what you can offer? Or do you value what Sally from work, who can't get her own damn life straight, is going to think or say about you? Do you worry about your sister-in-law, who's always been a pain in the ass from the day that you met her and you got to deal with her twice a year on Thanksgiving and Christmas? Do you, I mean, where do we put that value? I mean, a lot of it is you're more important than that and you should just go win. And the more you can shed craps to give for people who don't really matter, let's be honest, in your overall picture of your life, right? Because someday you're going to die as I'm going to die, as we're all going to die. And they're going to say, hey, did you hear what happened to Mark? Oh, he passed away. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. Hey, pass the potatoes. And they go on with their lives. So I think when you can put yourself as the focal point, again, not in a selfish way, but in a self-love way, in a self-care way, and realize the importance you have, that's when you could start making progress. And until that time happens and you come to terms with that, you're holding yourself back unnecessarily. For people who don't really matter in the big scheme of things. And that sounds harsh, but it's hard to live with day to day. So I'm speaking harsh.
I don't think that sounds harsh at all. I think that sounds, and I think part of the reason why I hadn't even considered that was maybe because I don't care what a lot of people think. And so that hating.
That's why your business is becoming successful, because you broke those shackles and you're able to start being brave enough to suck at something new and fail forward and create something. And most
I'm very focused. Don't. Yeah. Yeah. You can't focus. There's no time to focus on those negative people or negative influences. And I think if you're listening and maybe you have people in your life who are not supportive of you healing, that maybe are not on board with you eating healthier foods or cutting out something that's inflammatory for you or drinking the filtered, whatever that thing might be, then maybe those aren't your people right now. Maybe you lovingly say, okay, well, I need to take care of myself today and prioritize yourself, because if you don't do that, think about what the alternative looks like. That's not a very fun picture to think about. Something else you talk about, Mark, that the quotes in your book, I use these quotes all the time. We love the same quotes. And you don't phrase it this way, but you basically what you say is, if you want something done, get someone busy to do it. And I love this. So I work for a university and in higher education. And I will tell you, the students that I have that get the most number of courses done, because you pay for a term, you don't pay for a course. They get the most number of courses done in the term are the moms that work full time. Mm-hmm. Those are, and the students that I have that get the fewest amount of courses complete are my, and I say this with love, my 18-year-olds that aren't doing their own laundry. Like, those are the people that just don't have time, that they're not getting their coursework done. And so I wholeheartedly believe if you want something done, ask somebody busy to do it. What are your, and maybe this question doesn't relate to health as much, because this is just about getting stuff done. But I want to hear like your hot take on this concept.
Of what exactly? Prioritizing and being able to get things done.
Yeah. So I guess to make this a health related question, I just loved your book and I just want to know your thoughts on you. All of these things. I really loved your book.
Wait till you get the other two.
I know, right. I'm so behind the times. I just love how I'm going to use the word poetic again. I love how rhythmical. I felt like it had a musical tone to it. Like it's so easy to read because it was like, I wonder if you read this book to music, if it would be to an 8 count or something.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
You could DJ to this book.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
But back to this concept. I don't know. I try to figure out that. So for me, in my practice, I'm trying to differentiate high level problems, like high level barriers versus low level barriers. So a low level barrier is I don't have money. Okay. Well, if you're not prioritizing your health, then that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. But a high level barrier would be something like, I can't figure out how to make this work in my schedule. I think maybe where this applies is the people that have a lot of responsibilities, because maybe a protocol means you're taking something morning, noon, and night, and you got to figure out, am I packing this in a lunchbox? How am I going to make this happen? Maybe those are the people that tend to complete their protocols versus the people that aren't busy, that have all the time in the world to focus on their health. Maybe they're the ones that are self-sabotaging going, oh, well, one of my other favorite quotes is, if it can be done at any time, it gets done at no time, right? So like one of my rules when I get in the house is if it can be done in 30 seconds, like if I can hang up my coat or my purse or whatever, I'm going to do that thing right then and there. If it can't be done in 30 seconds, maybe it'll wait. But if it can be done in 30 seconds, it's happening right now. Because I like a clean house and I have a toddler. Well, I don't know if she's considered a toddler. She's 10 months. My house has always got toys everywhere now. So I'm constantly going like, got to pick this up. But I think because I stay busy, things get done. Am I talking in circles?
No, you're making a lot of sense, actually. But I'll jump in with this. I feel like every day, every year, everybody has the same amount of time. We got the same amount of time. I don't get more time in my September than you do. We got the same amount of time. Who's ready to run the hardest? Who's ready to prioritize? Everybody's busy. We're all busy. Let's just say it, okay? Everybody knows like that one biggest loser person that they know, right? Person that's never achieving, always complaining, it's never good enough. They always, whatever they got going on, like, they're busy. Right. So there's a big difference between busy and productive. Like if busy for you is, the TikToks, the Netflix, the whatever, the no goals, no dreams, no ambition, no whatever. And you're exhausted by the end of the day. But you're so busy versus the person that's taken that 45 minutes on purpose with their health to get in a workout or whatever. Cause you know what they say about health. You're either going to pay for it now, or you're going to pay for it later. Right. So you might as well get healthy. So it's about doing that or about minding your mind. You know, when we talk about personal growth, I'm a big believer in personal growth and about, again, investing in yourself. You are the most precious commodity there is, because without you, what are we talking about here, right? You know, if you took 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, you know what you would have? You would have 15 minutes a day to invest in yourself, personal growth, listen to a podcast like this, read a book like Get Up, do the audio book, whatever, right? And or find a mentor or something online or do something that's going to enhance you and help you get better. What you have is 23 hours and 45 minutes to do whatever the hell else you want the rest of the day. But go do personal growth for 15 minutes a day for 30 days. And then come talk to me at the end of September. You're going to be a changed person. You're going to start this journey. And I think a big part of that is gratitude. Maybe start a gratitude journal, have it by your bed, have it when you can go to bed at night, something you can read first thing in the morning, or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe it's something you put as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're looking forward to, or you're happy for, you're thankful for, and then reading at night before you go to bed. You know, whatever that looks like, you start the process. You know, Bruce Lee said, to hell with circumstances, I create success. You can create your own success. If you're listening to me right now, you are not a victim. We all have different circumstances. We all have our own crap. How you handle your crap is how you are going to be defined. So go kick the crap out of your crap, right? Right? Go
yes.
be successful. Let's start taking action steps, get a game plan, and start swinging. We're in control. Again, you got two choices. I'm yelling at you again. It's But you get two choices in life. You are the hammer or you are the nail. The nail sucks. It sucks being in it. Start swinging. Let's be the hammer. Let's start creating stuff. You are in control of your day and your life more than you know you are or remember that you are. So I'm going to remind you that.
Sweet. Well, I always want to end with, and I'm totally putting you on the spot. I did not prepare you for this question.
Let's go. We don't
All right.
Get up.
What is something, and this does not have to be related to health, but what is something that you know now that you wish you would have known 10 to 20 years ago? Are you tired of feeling sluggish and unwell? Are you ready to take control of your health and embark on a journey to cleanse your body from environmental toxins and parasites? Welcome to my Parasite Cleanse course, your ultimate guide to revitalizing your well-being. In this transformative course, you will gain essential knowledge through 5 comprehensive modules. Module 1 will empower you to recognize the signs and symptoms of a parasite infestation, bringing you clarity to your health journey. Module 2 will give you a thorough and crucial pre-cleanse steps, focusing on detoxification and drainage, laying a solid foundation for an effective cleanse. In Module 3, you'll learn safe and effective techniques to eliminate parasites, promoting a healthier and happier you. Module 4 explores lifestyle and nutrition practices that will complement your cleanse, ensuring your body thrives throughout the process. And then Module 5 is all about post-cleansing. I'm going to equip you with strategic approaches to maintain your newfound vitality and well-being. But wait, that's not it. There's more. I've included some amazing bonuses to enhance your experience. Learn about pregnancy and breastfeeding considerations in my special bonus module. Also, discover products that boost your cleanse journey, giving you that extra edge. As a special treat, receive a step-by-step guide on parasite elimination alongside lifetime access to prescription-grade cleanse products. Plus, to support your detox and drainage journey, you'll receive my exclusive recipe ebook. Are you ready to say goodbye to feeling sluggish and reset your metabolism? Enroll in my Parasite Cleanse course today and embrace a healthier and happier you. Click the Parasite Cleanse course link in the show notes and use the code PODCAST for $25 off your course as a special thank you for being a loyal listener. I really hope this serves you well. Back to the show.
That I should have believed in myself more. When I was 19, 20 years old, I was still going, you know, rough area, rough time. It was before I joined the military, and I went into the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area was like I don't think they exist anymore. If they do, they must have changed their names. But basically, it was a school that you would go to, as in someone would go to a beauty school or a computer school. You would go to this school to learn how to do basically communications, how to speak, how to be on the radio, be on TV. And I remember being a kid with my feathered Bon Jovi hair, dating myself, and with my CD player, and going into this place and sat down, and I'm a 20-year-old with my jock, you know, kind of look and my sweatpants on, and I'm looking at people in their late 30s and 40s that are like double my age, that are wearing ties and the jacket, and you know, the very professional looking lady that probably went on to be a weather woman. And I remember sitting there looking at everyone in the lobby, and the 20-year-old me said to myself, I'm just not good enough for this. Like these people have way more experience. I'm over my head. And I left. Now, I don't know what would have happened if I stayed, but I do know this. 9 years later, I started my own DJ company, which I own and operate to this day, done thousands of events. I've emceed and hosted my own podcast, the Get Up Podcast, which has been heard in over 50 countries. I've had my own radio show, the only personal growth radio program in the entire Philadelphia marketplace, the Get Up Power Hour, boom, bam, where it's like drinking out of a fire hose. And what would have happened if I didn't wait 10 to 20 years to actually start doing that? How many lives would I have changed? What would my life look like now if I didn't have to go through all the other obstacles I went through to continue my journey of growth, instead of just having a little bit of go for it, a little bit of try it, a little bit, let's see what happens. Because you know what? Maybe I wasn't polished enough, but I was good enough. I just didn't believe in myself enough. So I want to encourage anyone listening right now to believe in yourself enough to take the first step, because you're just prolonging your own success to whatever that looks like.
Ah, beautiful words to end on. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you and your time and all of the work that you are doing. You just bless so many lives. If you are interested in finding Mark, I will put all of his links in the show notes. Please go buy his book, Get Up. By the way, could have been written Get Up, Steph. Like, seriously felt like this was written to me. It wouldn't have been a good title for everybody else, but it would have been a good
title. Could be like those things when you go down to a beach and you buy the little like keychains. You can get up, Steph, Fred, get up, Jennifer. Yeah.
For the electronic copies, just, you know, do that little code where you put the person's name in there. I do appreciate you and all the work that you're doing. Go find Mark on Clubhouse. Go find him on Instagram. I'm so grateful for you. And yeah, I'll probably see you next Wednesday for Clubhouse.
Let's go clubbing. There you go.
Wonderful.
Love it.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please, I would be so grateful if you would do two things. One, think of a friend, a specific friend who could use some encouragement today, and send them this episode, whether it's through a text, a Facebook message, whether you're sharing it on your stories. Find that person and make sure that this episode somehow ends up in their hands. The second thing you can do is leave a rating and review. This helps the show get noticed, and it helps me to continue to book new guests that are fabulous when I have a good rating and a good base on the podcast platforms. So yes, if you could please leave a review, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much for listening to our episode today. I hope you leave today feeling encouraged and ready to attack life. All right, go out in the real world now. Be well and be kind.